So you know how I love The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
Mm-hmm.
It's currently on Prime, right? It's like the season is unfolding. What they're doing is every Friday they release two more episodes,
mm-hmm.
is how they're handling it. And like, I get that it's TV and I get that it's supposed to be taking place in like the 60s or whatever. But there are certain things that are just true that I'm really getting sick of movies and TV shows trying to sell us cliches that are just so untrue. Like, there's this one scene where it's snowing and it's like super cold and there's a snowstorm and she's just kind of like running through the snow and she's wearing like a mini skirt and heels. Like, I live in New York. You're not running through the snow in heels. Like, okay, it's bad enough that you're in a mini skirt. You're probably very cold, but she wasn't acting cold and she wasn't slipping around like crazy in a pair of heels running up Sixth Avenue. So I just feel like there's so many cliches that movies and TV shows do that I think it's time we called them out.
So she didn't just come out of a car or come out of a house. She's been walking around New York barely dressed in the winter.
Yeah. And she comes out of, like, what happens is she has to abscond from this. There's a raid at the strip club that she's a comedian and she's doing comedy at a strip club.
Mm.
And the strip club gets raided and she goes running out and she runs out into a snowstorm and she's just running in heels like it's no big deal. Like, I'm sorry. New York is really slippery. There's grates. There's all kinds of things. You're not running in heels on a normal day,
mm-hmm.
let alone in a snowstorm.
Sometimes it's hard to suspend reality is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one of those things that I was so distracted by her running in heels that I don't even know what the rest of the scene was about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I missed the dialogue. I missed the scene. I was like, but she can't. Those are heels. This is New York. What? Yeah, it was. I found it very distracting. So I thought about some other cliches we see in movies that would never be true in real life. Like, for example, don't you always see movies where somebody goes over a cliff or over a building and you can hold their entire weight with one arm?
Mm.
You can't hold someone's entire weight with one arm.
I think if you had, I think the adrenaline pumps in and you might be able to.
What do you weigh?
Well, you're not holding me.
No, in a movie, I would be. In a movie,
yeah,
you'd fall off a cliff and I'd have to be holding you with one arm. What do you weigh? You weigh more than 200 pounds?
Right. So you got to hold me up. You better hold me up. You better not let me go or I'm going to come back and haunt you.
I wouldn't want to let you go, but I weigh 125. I can't. I mean, I can barely
brace yourself.
Okay.
You better not let me go. I'll be like, bitch, you don't let go of my hand. Back up. Because you see dogs save people on movies because they back up and they pull you up. So I believe that.
Right. Also another cliche that CPR can bring anybody back to life no matter what happened to them.
Every time somebody dies on House, they always bring them back. Their heart stops, and they go the clear thing.
Uh-huh.
And it always, like, one or two times, they're back alive. So I'm like,
right, you get hit
does anybody die? How does anybody die?
No, they don't. That's the whole point. Unless the storyline is that they die. But in real life, you would. Like, CPR doesn't bring you back if you've been hit by a truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or if you fell off a building or if you were shot. But like in a movie, just do CPR and the person will come right around. No problem.
Yeah, you need that clear thing. The clear thing. I'm thinking now that you can bring the clear thing to awake.
Yeah, right. And my favorite thing, in that same vein, dying people are alert, they're oriented, they can talk until they murmur that one last word.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two problems with that. One is, if you're dying, you're not like, hey, everybody, I'm fine. Oh, oop, I'm dead. It doesn't work like that.
It's my time.
Right. It's my time to...
I love you all.
Right, right. And what's
Claire.
Interesting about... Oh, wait, they're back. No problem.
I thought you were dying. I was, but the clear thing brought me back.
They did the clear thing, so I'm okay now. But yes, and what's interesting about that is that when they're dying in a movie, they say something important for somebody else's life. You know, they go, do you have any last words, Grandpa? Yes.
Let me whisper it to you in your ear.
Whisper it to you. Exactly. Tell the guy on the second floor of my building that his key is under the mat and it's okay. You know, whatever. Something like something has nothing to do with them, something weird and random. And what's interesting about that is we learn because of COVID. I don't know if you saw all those stories of all the COVID doctors and nurses that talked about people's last words as they were dying of COVID.
Mm.
Not one of them thought about other people. They were all thinking about themselves because that's what you're thinking about when you're dying. You can't believe this is your moment. You can't believe it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Unless you're completely incapacitated. But you don't, like, as you're dying, you don't go, tell my childhood boyfriend he was the best kisser. Like, no one does that. No, if they're like, oh my God, I can't believe this actually is happening.
Yeah.
Or please try to save me. You know, things like that is what they actually say to doctors and nurses.
Yeah, don't let go of my hand.
Right.
Go get the clear thing. Get the clear thing in here now.
Something else that movies and TV shows have told us that is just complete crap, that you can outrun a giant explosion.
At the last second, though, but you got to jump. You got to jump at the end. If you don't jump, then you die.
Yeah, exactly. I can't tell how many shows that I watch where there's an explosion and the person's like, wait, oh my God, that's about to run. And they all go running and everyone's fine. You just do a little jump and then you're fine.
Well, Indiana Jones survived a nuclear bomb by jumping in a refrigerator. So I'm just thinking that all I have to do is jump into a refrigerator.
Okay, so if this whole thing in Russia goes down and it becomes a nuclear war, just get into my refrigerator?
Just live in the refrigerator. Yeah, just take everything out now. You can be in, well, you could actually live in the freezer part.
True.
You would be just fine. And then your boyfriend can have the refrigerator part.
I like it nice and cold, so that actually would work out perfectly for us, our new home. Here's another one, that helicopters can sneak up out of nowhere. That's my favorite thing. You're standing on a roof, and you're like, where'd the bad guy go? I don't know. Where is he? Just suddenly behind you. No.
Yeah, no. You can hear a helicopter from like 25 miles away.
Right, they can't sneak up on you.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is funny. Do you remember when we were talking about, was it Ocean's 8? Which one was all the women? Was that Ocean's 8?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. My favorite thing was Rihanna in it. She was the hacker.
Mm-hmm.
She would get on the computer and be like, she would tap for 30 seconds. I'm in.
I got the password. What do you need to know?
Right. Yeah, no, if you talk to actual hackers, it takes a little longer than that. It's not that easy to hack into stuff. You don't tap furiously, then suddenly, I'm in.
No, all you need is a good internet connection and a keyboard. That's pretty much all you need in a movie. As long as you have a keyboard, you can get in.
Anything. You get anything.
Anything, yeah.
You can hack into the CIA if you want to.
You can change streetlights.
Right.
All you need is a keyboard.
In seconds. You could do it in seconds.
Right.
Now, this I didn't know. I have to say, this is how stupid I am. I thought if you pull a fire alarm, I thought that does set off the sprinkler system. Apparently, it doesn't.
No, two different systems.
Okay, I didn't know that. So that's one of those things that happens in movies that apparently is bullshit. I love this one. This is the big complaint with Sex and the City and Friends. They don't do anything for a living. How can they afford to live like that? People with normal jobs come home to these giant mansions. It's like, wait a minute. You're a barista. How can you afford this mansion and a butler?
Okay.
I don't get it.
So Monica's apartment, even though she was on rent control, mm-hmm. but it was two bedrooms, one bath with a balcony that didn't have a door, by the way. It had a balcony with a window that you had to crawl out of. So
right.
How much and what part of town were they in?
I think they were supposed to be down on Grove Street. So they were like in the West Village.
Okay, so how much a two bedroom in West Village? How much is that?
I mean, now versus the 90s, even the 90s, it wasn't cheap. In the 90s, it was probably, because that's when the show was, right? The 90s.
Right.
In the 90s, it was probably a couple of grand a month.
Yeah. So let's say $3,000 a month. And
yeah,
you're going to make that on part time as a chef.
Right.
Because none of her roommates ever had a job.
Well, Rachel worked at Central Perk, if you remember, briefly.
As a waitress. So you got a waitress and a part-time chef. They're coming up with three bills a month.
Right. That's the point. They're definitely not. And same thing with Sex and the City. I mean, that was trying to be more realistic, yet Carrie was a freelance writer. I was a freelance writer back then. Mm-hmm. Writing has never paid until you write a book. Freelance writing, you get, if you're lucky, you get like maybe between $2,000 and $5,000 per article. And she didn't write that many articles a month. She had a regular column, but you know, for that column, she got maybe a couple of $100. She was living in a brownstone on the Upper West Side. That was, I mean, there's no way that she was able to afford a closet that big or that much clothing. You know, that's my issue with Emily in Paris. Mm. I love the show. I think Lily Collins is adorable. She's like one of my favorites. But every day she's in a completely different outfit. She lives in a teeny little studio. Are you telling me that she cannot afford a studio, but she can afford tens of thousands of dollars of clothing per month? And then where does she put it? She's got a tiny closet and she has 365 outfits. Where do you keep all those clothes? You have to at least wear the same jacket twice, but she never does.
That's the one thing you notice. She doesn't have the closet space for all these clothes. It's not that she can't afford them. She just doesn't have the closet space.
Also very unrealistic, and this is every show. I don't care if you're watching the new version of Gossip Girl or we're talking about like Clueless and Mean Girls from back in the day. This is true for every single Sex Education, all these shows, that high schoolers are full of gorgeous people who always have fun and always have adventures going on. And never have zits, and that the people who are mean, it's obvious who's mean,
mm-hmm.
which isn't true. And that your grades will improve in the nick of time as long as you study hard the night before.
That is true. I do believe that's true.
And then finally, the last cliche that we see in movies and television that is just simply not true. Be great if it was, but it just isn't. That as long as you love somebody, like really love them, it'll all work out. You don't have to work at the relationship, you know. You don't change over time. As long as you love them, that's all that matters.
Yeah, 99% of the population believes that, except you. I'm surprised you've ever uttered the word love in your life. That's not to a thing that's standing on four legs.
Right. I have said I love you to other things, but it just didn't. It wasn't the same. I did lie.